Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Meir Turin. Meseches Tainus has been dedicated by Mr. Aaron Zweig, Le'iloi Nishmas Reb Shimon ben Nechemya Halevi.
The Gemara Meseches Tainus on Daf Chaf Beis is in the middle of a story which began on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara told us the story with Abba Umna, Abba who was a surgeon, Abba Asle Shlomo Mimesifta the Rekia Kol Yoima. He would get a Shalom Aleichem from the Mesifta the Rekia every single day. Abaye would receive this special Shalom Aleichem every Erev Shabbos, and Rava would receive it every Erev Yom Kippur. The Ben Yoyada explains, Abba Umna was in a situation where the Yitzhar was misgaber on him, and therefore when he was Amrit ben Isayin, he was Zaychet to Ishalim every single day. Abaye received it every Erev Shabbos, which is the sixth day of the week. Ben Yoyada explains, because we know the halacha follows Abaye in all his arguments with Rava, it follows like Abaye in Yal Kigam, which is an acronym which stands for six halachas which follow Abaye. And therefore, Meshamayim, they were showing him that these six halachas are extremely special, Meshamayim, and therefore every sixth day he will receive a shalom. Rava received it every Erev Yom Kippur, because like the Gemara says, that Rava had a minhag to be misanet 2 days, because of a safik when Yom Kippur was, and therefore Rava would receive the Shalom Aleichem every single day. Now the Gemara tells us how the Kachol Shadaita da Abaye Mishum da Abba Umna. Abaye had Chalisha Sadas, the fact that Abba Umna received it every single day. Amr Le, they told Abaye Le Matis Lmi Avid Ke'uvdei, you are not able to do like the Maisim that Abba Umna does. And like the Marsha explains, Abaye wasn't just jealous of Abba Umna, but rather Abaye held that obviously Abba Umna is doing very special Maisim, perhaps he as well could do these Maisim. On that they told Abaye, no, you cannot do like Abba Umna. In this we find two explanations. The Marsha explains that practically speaking, Abaye was a Rosh Hashiva, and therefore he was not in the Makam Nisayan together with the women the way Abba Umna was, and therefore they told him, it's not possible for you to do like the actions of Abba Umna. This works out very good like the Marsha. That his main issue was that perhaps he could do better things in order to be zeichet to this. On this they told Abaye that practically speaking, it's not negeya. The Arachama wants to offer another pshat on what they were telling Abaye. Based on the Gemara Masechtas Sukkah on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara teaches us that Kol Gadol Mechavera Yitzrei Gadol Himenu, anyone greater than his friend, the Yitzhar as well, is greater. And the Gemara then tells a story with Abaye himself. At one time he heard two people, a woman and a man, talking with each other, and they said, let's walk together on the road. Abaye said, I better follow them to make sure they do not come Lidei Isser. When they were finished, they parted ways, and the man and woman said to each other, it's so nice to be with each other, but we must now separate and go on our ways. Abaye came back and he was very upset about this, and he felt that if he would have been in such a situation, he would have been nichshal. Until Asahu Saba, the old man, came, which Taisus Nechulam Daf Hei, according to one explanation, explains that wherever in Shas it says, Ahu Saba, it is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi, and he told him he should not be Tzibrachin, Kol Gadol Mechaverai, Yitzrei Gadol Himenu. And therefore, Zakhtar Arachama, they were telling Abaye, since by you, your Yitzhar is much greater, you will not be able to do the same Maisim of Abba Umna to be in such a situation, and to be Aymed Bin Isayin. The Gemara goes further, and the Gemara says that one day Abaye sent a group of Rabbanim to be Baidik Abba Umna to see if he's indeed on this high level. The story goes that Abba Umna gave them to eat and to drink, and he gave them mats to rest on at night. In the morning, they rolled up these mats, and they took them with them to the marketplace. They found Abba Umna, like the Gemara tells us what it transpired. Now the question is that the Gemara Masechtas Bava Metzia and Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis teaches us that there's halacha le'signayv al menas le'mekat. A person is not allowed to steal, even if he's not planning on keeping it, on condition to hurt his friend. Or le'signayv al menas le'shalim teshlumei kefel. A person is also not allowed to steal, even if he has good intent, and he plans on paying back the person double. And like Rashi explains over there about Metzia, a person would do such a thing. If he wants to be mahane, his friend give himself something good, and his friend refuses to accept it. So he figures he'll steal, and then he'll be obligated to pay back kefil. Zakta Gemara, that is a lav deraisa of le'signayv al menas l'shalim teshlumei kefil. So the question is, how were the Talmidim of Abaye permitted to steal these mats, even if their intent was just to test him and they were planning on giving it back, but l'chayr, they should fall under the category of l'signayv al-manas l'shalim tashlumi kefil. A similar question we can ask on the sugyan Meseches Bava Basra on up to Zayin Amad Aleph. Of there, the Gemara tells us, Darash Rava, Rava Darshan, the Maidach Siv, what is the meaning of the pasuk that Eiv said, Birchas Eivad Alay Tavai, the Leiv Almana Arane. Birchas Eivad Alay Tavai, the blessing of the one who has lost something will come upon me. This teaches us that Eiv would still fill to the Yisayimim, be Mashpiach the fields, U'machsirulan, and then return to the Yisayimim. And over there as well, we can ask the same question. How is Eiv allowed to do such a thing, and he's praised for it? Doesn't this fly in the face of the Gemara Bava Metzia, which says that it's aser to steal even almanas l'shalim tashlumi kefil? And Ramosha in Dibros Moshe on Maseches Bava Basra in Ha'ara Ayin Ches indeed asked this question, and he said, L'chari Yiksha, how does this work out with the Sugyan Bava Metzia? In order to answer these questions, it's kedai to be makdim a fundamental yisoid that we see mitayich divrei Rambam, yisoidistik achilut between geneva and gezela. And today we'll talk about four chilukim that we find in the Rambam. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Geneva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph writes, Kol ha-goinev mamain, anyone who steals money transgresses the law of geneva. Yet in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Mehilchos Gezela, the Rambam uses a little bit of a different lashon. Over there, the Rambam focuses, Kol ha-goizel es chaveray. Over there, the Rambam writes, someone who steals from his friend transgresses the law of Gzela. Number two, the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva writes, anyone who steals Shavar Pruta Ulamala, Shavar Pruta and onward, transgresses the Lois Asay. Yet in Hilchos Gzela, the Rambam just writes, anyone who steals a Shavar Pruta is Ivar the law of Lysigzel. Number three, in Hilchos Geneva, the Rambam brings down that there's an Isser to steal, even Derech Schaik, even for a joke, and even on condition to give back, and even on condition to pay. Yet in Gzela, the Rambam is mashmit this entire halacha, the Rambam does not mention it. And number four, the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva says, it's asur to be goinev, mamayn akum, it's forbidden to steal money of a Gentile. The Rambam's focus is on the object that's being stolen. Yet when it comes to Hilchos Gzela, the Rambam writes, it's asur ligzoil akum, it's asur to steal from a non-Jew. He does not focus on mamayin, the money of the akum. Now the Michlas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Reish Chaf Dalet Tziv Katan Beis, says a tremendous chiddush as well, that even according to the opinions that hold, that when it comes to Gezel Akum, the Isser is only Midrabanan. However, Genevas Akum, if someone steals a Darach Geneva, then it's Aser Min HaTorah. And finally, Reb Chaim Brisker said a chiddush like this, that if someone stole an object that is worth 100 prutais, he's only ivor one lav, if he does it, darach geneva. However, if someone steals darach gezela, which is when one steals with a hesya berabim, in such a case, he is ivor on every single pruta. And if the object was worth 100 prutais, he's ivor 100 separate lavim of leisigzel. Now the pshat to answer all the diukim in the Rambam, and all the different things we just brought down, we can explain it like the Rishimas Shi'urim explains in Maseches Bava Kama in Simen Memhei. He says there's a fundamental difference between the Isser Gzela and the Isser Geneva. When it comes to the Isser Geneva, what the Torah forbade was the Maisa Geneva, the action of Geneva. And like the Michas Chinuch writes, that Maisa Geneva, the Torah was not just makbid merely because of the monetary loss that your friend is incurring, but rather it's a midah geruah, the action of a maisa geneva is a horrible action, which the Torah assert. And like you find in the Gemara Maseches Bava Kama, daf ayin tes sama beis, that someone who does geneva, which is when one steals, the seiser, it's as if he's saying he's scared of people, but he has no fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashenkin, someone who steals gzela, which is dame for hesya, he's not afraid of anybody, and therefore is not as severe. Based on this, let's come back now and answer up all the different diukim in the Rambam. The first diuk we made was that when it comes to Geneva, the Rambam writes, Aser lignoy mamayin, it's forbidden to steal money. He does not mention at all stealing from your friend. Like this, it's very understandable. By Geneva, the Iker Isser is the Torah, Aser the Maisa Mechur of the Ganav, the horrible action that the Ganav is doing. And therefore, the Rambam does not focus on the fact that it's from your friend. That's not the point. Masha'enkein, when it comes to Gzela, the Rambam over there writes, Aser ligzol chaveray, It is forbidden to be geizel from your friend, because by gzela, the sight of the iser is the hefzid mamun chaveray, the fact that you're causing your friend a loss, a monetary loss. And therefore, the Rambam focuses on geizel chaveray. Number two, we were medayik in Hilchus Geneva, the Rambam writes, it is forbidden to steal mishava pruta ulamala, and shava pruta and onward. Yet by gzela, the Rambam just writes, it's forbidden to steal a pruta. According to this, it's very understandable. By Geneva, where the Iker Isser is not as far as being machaser mamun chaveray, causing your friend a loss, but rather the Torah forbade the maisa mechur. And like Rav Chaim said, if one does Darach Geneva, one steals an object worth 100 prutais, he only transgresses one lav of Geneva, because one action. So Mele Rambam is writing, someone who steals a shava pruta lamala, no matter what it is, it's all included in one lav of Geneva. However, when it comes to gzela, where the yisayit of the ister is built on the fact you're being mechaser mamun chaveray, you're causing your friend a loss, therefore the Rambam over there writes that someone who steals a shava pruta, he already transgresses lo sigzol. The Rambam means to bring out that if you'll steal a second pruta, there'll be two lavim lo sigzol. Because as far as the loss which is incurring by your friend, each pruta is another loss. Number three, we're medayik, that the Rambam, when it comes to Geneva, brings down the Isser of Almanas, Lashalim, and Derech Schaik. And the Pshat is very geschmack according to this. When it comes to Geneva, where the site of the Isser is the action, which is a Maisa Mechur, so as long as you're doing that action, even Derech Schaik, or even Almanas, Lashalim, that's still considered an action, which is a Maisa Mechur. By Sheenkin, by Gzela, the site of the Isser Gzela is the Mechaser Mam Chaveray, the fact that you're causing your friend a loss. And therefore, in a case the Rambam held, and in a case where you're stealing Almanas L'shalim, where your intention is not to cause him a loss, or you're just stealing Derech Schaik as a joke, but you're planning on giving it back, that does not fall under the category of Gzela, where the Yisayit of Gzela is the Chisaron that you're doing by Mamun Chaveray. And number four, by Geneva, the Rambam writes, when it comes to Geneva's Akum, he writes, it's forbidden Lignaiv Mamayin Akum. It's forbidden, he focuses on the object being stolen, and it's forbidden to steal the money of a non-Jew. Because over there, the Dagesh is the Iker Isser by Geneva inside the Maisa Geneva. The Rambam saying this is also an object which falls under the category of Geneva. However, by Gzela, the Rambam changes his language, and he writes, it's Aser Ligzol Akum, to steal from a non-Jew. Since by Gzela, the Iker Isser Mitzad is Mitzad Mechasem Mechaveray, therefore the Rambam focuses on Ligzol Akum. And that works out well with the Michas Chinuch, who writes that even if Gzela's Akum is only Midrabanan, however, that man, the Amr, will agree that when it comes to Geneva's Akum, it's a Deraisa. And like this, it's very understandable. According to the man, the Amr says, Gzela's Akum is only Aser Midrabanan. He says that the Torah wasn't as makbid when it came to money of a non-Jew. That's because that's all by Gzela, where the site of the Isser is built on the Chisaron that you're doing by Mamun Chaveray, the fact that you're being Mechaser Mamun Chaveray. However, when it comes to Geneva, where the Yisayda Isser is, the Kepeda of the Torah was that you should not do an action which is Mechur, Zogtum Mechas Chinuch, for that, even Geneva's Akum is considered a Maisa Mechur. Based on this Yisayda, we can come back and answer up the Sugi and Bava Basir on Daf Tezayin Amir Aleph, where over there, Eiv praised himself of stealing the Sada from the Yisaymim and the Mashpiachit. And we asked, isn't this Saisa the Gemara and Bava Metzia? So the answer is that from a dayak in the Gemara and Bava Basar, it says he used to be Geizel, Sada Yisayman. He would do a Gzela on a Sada Yisayman and be Mashpiach and give it back. And since over there the Rambam holds there is no Israel Manas L'Shalim when it comes to Gzela, therefore, Fakart, since he only planned to do it to Mashpiach it, there was no problem. If anything, he was praised for it. According to this Yisayman, we can answer up our Sugi as well. Over here with the Talmidim Abaye, the Ben Yayada says that they took it Derech Gezela. When they took the mats in the morning, they took it in front of all the members of the household of Abba Umna. Therefore, as far as Gezela is concerned, as long as the person intends on giving it back, it's Almanas Lahachzer. There is no Chiddush HaTaira that there's a lav by Gezela of Almanas Lahachzer. Because the site of Gezela again is only where the Kavan is Lechaser Mamun Chaveri. However, this all fits in very nicely according to the Shitas HaRambam. We were mechiach with mechal between Geneva and Gezela. However, this chiddush is not muskim in all the Rishonim. Number one, the Ritvan Mesafis Bava Metzia over there on Samach Aleph on the Beis writes that even though the Gemara says by Geneva, a signa of Almanas, l'shalim, tashlumi kefel, However, Yalfinan Gezel Meganeva. Over there we learn that as well, that if someone steals even with intention to give back, or even if he's planning on giving the person more, Afilu Haki is Ivar the Lav of Leisigzel. So we see from the words of the Ritva argues with the Rambam, and he is not Machal between Gezela and Geneva. And therefore, according to Ritva, it's Chazav and Iyar, it comes back the question, number one, from the Sugya in the end of Basra with Iyav, that how is Iyav allowed to steal the Sundas for Yisayimim? A Manas Lashpiach, it should be included in this Lav of Leisigzel Manas Lashalim. And number two, how does the Ritva resolve our Sugya? How were the Talmidim of Abaye permitted to steal these mats, even if their intention was noble, and even if they were planning on giving it back? We can answer the Ritva with two Mahalchim. The first Mahalch is what the Yad Ramah, over there in the Masechet Bava Basra, says. The Yad Ramah himself actually asked this question on Iyav. How does Iyav allow to do this? L'chayra, it's connected to Sugyim of Mitzia. On that, the Yad Ramah gives a fascinating answer. He says, Iyav was a Benayach, Iyav was a non-Jew. It's a discussion in the Gemara whether Iyav was a Benayach or a Yisrael. The Yad Ramah is learning this Gemara, Al-Kopanim holds that Iyav was a Benayach. And therefore, this whole Chiddush, that we say that there's an Isser to steal, Almanas Lahachzer, or Almanas Lashalim, that Isser is only by Yisrael, and it does not apply to a Benayach. The second answer is what Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal writes in Dibris Moshe over there, Maseches Bava Basra, Hahara Ayin Ches. Rav Moshe writes that when it comes to Karka, something which is not movable, so really the only way how to do a Maisa Gezeila on Karka is only if you're using the field with Kavana to keep it for yourself. And therefore, Rav Moshe says over here that Iyav is planting the field and using the field to be Mashpiach for the Yisayimim, there is no Isser of Gzeil Almanas L'shalim. Now, both the Yad Ramah's answer and Rav Moshe's answer will resolve the Sugya on Bava Basra. However, as far as the Sugya Masechtas Tainus are Sugya, where the Talmidim of Abaye were stealing these mats, number one, we cannot give the answer of the Yad Ramah, that since Iyav was a ben Nayach, so he did not have the Isra of Manas L'shalim, because over here we're dealing with the Yisraelim. And even the Mahalach of Rav Moshe, that when it comes to Karka, so over there, if the person does not intend to steal it, but to be Mishabeach, so it's not Nayach the Isra of Manas L'shalim, but over here we're dealing with mats, where I'm a Taltalin. And therefore, it will be Chaz of Aneir, it will still remain the question on the Ritva, how does the Ritva explain this Sugya in Tainus? According to the Ritva, perhaps we have to say, like the Sfas Emes writes, that the Sfas Emes as well is very bothered. How could the Talmidim of Abaye take the mats, even if they had noble intentions, but there is Israel Manas L'shalim? Because the question is so strong, the Sfas Emes writes, we are forced to say that Abba Umna, when he gave them the mats to begin with, he really gave it to them to keep. So what was the whole test that later on in the marketplace they were testing him, that he should see that it's his mats, and they have it? The test was not that they didn't have no right to take the mats, and therefore he should have said something. But rather the test was that he gave them the mats to keep, not to sell in the shuk, and therefore there was still a test, would he say something? Or, one can say, the way Rashi explains in his second explanation, the test they were testing Abba Umna was about was, since they showed that they had no idea, they did not know the true value of these mats, they were testing Abba Umna if he would tell them a fair price. Now the Gemara tells us that they told Abba Umna, "B'matusa minach b'may chashadatinun." Please tell us what you were chashed us when you realized that we took your mats. So he replied to them, "I thought pidyon shvuyim ikul rabbanon. I thought perhaps there was a case of pidyon shvuyim dechsifu lememali, and you were embarrassed to tell me about it." Like the Ben Yoyada explains, why would they have been embarrassed to tell them about Pidyon Shvuyim? Because perhaps it was a relative of one of theirs, and they were embarrassed the fact that they would have to go around and raise funds for their own relative. Amrlei, so they said to Abba Umna, Hash Danishkuru Mar, at least now take back your mats. Amrlei told them, Ayu Shaita Asechino Midato Yilutztaka. From that very moment, when I realized that you took the mats, I was Masiach Das from these mats, and I was planning on giving them to Tzedakah. The Meiri over here writes, Afal pisha dvarim shabalev einam dvarim. Even though we know there's a halacha in Shas, that a person's machshava in his heart has no validity, like the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Mem Tes teaches us. The Gemara das ha'adam shegeimer b'daitai litein le'aniyim einai neder atchiyotu v'peh. And the fact that he merely had intention to give it to the aniyim does not have the status of a neder until he actually articulates it with his mouth. Still, there is a midas chasidus that once a person decides in his heart to give something to the aniyim, his machshava should not take back his machshava. Even though over here was even more of a chiddush, because when he gave it, he thought the reason why he took it was because there was indeed a pidyon shvuyim. However, it's a midas chasidus. Once he is meyayish, he should keep to his thoughts, even though there is no real chiyuv. He says, this is what we see from our Gemara, Meishaita, Aschinu Datai L'Tzedakah. Now, what the Meiri names on for a Dover Pashit, that Gomar Belibai, as far as Tzedakah is concerned, does not have the status of a neder, is not so simple. Because in Yerideya, in Chelek Gimel, Simin Reish Nunchas Sifyu Gimel, the Ramah Paskins like this. If someone had in mind in his heart to give an item to tzedakah, he is obligated to mekayim his machshava. The only nafkamina of amira is that if he actually spoke it out, Be'ezim would force him to give it to tzedakah. However, as far as he himself having an obligation, once a person is gamar belibay to give something to tzedakah, he is obligated to give it. The Ramah then brings down another opinion, which is the opinion of the Meiri as well. V'yesh ayrim, some say, however, then v'leihaisi b'fiv einaiklum. If he does not articulate it with his mouth, it does not have validity of a neder. However, the Ramah ends off, v'leikir kisvara rishayna, the halacha, we go with this first svara, that gomar b'libay is enough to obligate a person to give the object to tzedakah. Now the Vilna Gaon over there in Shulchan Aruch and Sivkatan Lamed Vav writes, that even though we find when it comes to truma, and when it comes to kachim, a person making a karban, that mahani neder believe, that a neder, even in a person's heart, has the validity of a neder. Mikal Magim, the Gaon says, they argue these two shitas as far as tzedakah is concerned, do we compare tzedakah to kachim or not? Now we have to understand, based on what the Gaon is saying, that the crux of the question over here is, do we compare tzedakah to kachim, that even a neder believe has validity of a neder, or do you compare tzedakah to the regular nedarim, where over there is a din of bitis fasayim, and unless you utter it with your mouth, it does not have validity? What exactly is the svara lekan ulekan? Perhaps we can explain the machlekes rishayim over here, the hektim asugim babakama. The sugim asafis babakama daf lamed vav on the base brings down the following story. Alugavra the taka lechavre. There was a fellow who screamed in the ear of his friend, and he heard him. By Mechuyav Litain Palga the Zuzah, and he was obligated to pay half a Zuz. Amalehu Gavra, the fellow who was injured, said, Hail Palga the Zuzu, since it's such a small amount of money, Lai Ba'ina, I'm not interested in it, Nathil Aniyim, instead just give it to the poor. Then he changed his mind, and he said, you know what? Give it to me. Like this, I'll take the money, and I'll heal myself using that money. Rabbi Yosef, who was standing there, said that it's too late. Kvar Zachu Bei Aniyim. Once you said that that money should go to the aniyim already were zaycha in it. Even though there are no aniyim standing here, anan yad aniyim anan. I am a gavay tzedakah. I am like the hand of the aniyim, and I was zaycha in this money for them. You cannot back out. Taisus over there, Maseches Bava Kama, asks a very strong question. Why did Rav Yosef need to come onto the logic of anan yad aniyim anan, that I am the hand of the aniyim? Even without this, the person was mechuyav already to give that money to tzedakah. Like the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah that Bava Menal teaches us, b'ficha zu tzedakah. B'ficha, from b'ficha we learn that a person becomes obligated when he says he's going to give something to tzedakah. Taisus answers, because over here, it was considered a davar shaloi bala'ilam. When do we say b'ficha zu tzedakah? That's when I have an object, I have money in my house, and I say I'm going to give this to tzedakah. Over there, b'ficha zu tzedakah says that I'm obligated. However, the same way a person cannot give to hakdish something which is not owned by him yet, so hu adin over here is considered lei b'la'ilam. Hu adin over here, since the person just owed him the money, but this person who was injured was not yet zaycha in the money, therefore he was not able to give it over with the din of b'ficha zu tzedakah. So what was Rav Yosef saying? Rav Yosef was saying that there's a new concept called maimed shloshtan. The din is, it's a din derabbanan. The Gemara at the end of the first parak of Gittin teaches us that if you have the person who owes the money and the person who the money is owed to, and you have a third party where the person wants to transfer their obligation to him, there's a chiddush derabbanan called Maimit Shloshtan that works. And that's what Rav Yosef was saying. Anan yad aniyim anan, and therefore I am the third party standing here, and we have the person who was injured and the person who did the injury, and therefore I was kind of ready for the aniyim through the concept of Maimit Shloshtan. Now Rav Chaim in his Sefer in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Chaf Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin, writes the following. We have to be chayker, we have to analyze the Ikar Halacha Beficha Zu Tzedaka. That Beficha Zu Tzedaka tells us that with your mouth, something becomes Tzedaka. Rav Chaim says, how are we to understand this? Is it the pshat that the actual money, or the object, that you said I want to give to Tzedaka, in a Dine Mamanis, as far as the money itself is concerned, the Aniyim already have an actual kinyan on this money, and when the Ani takes it, he does not need to make a new kinyan? Or perhaps no. Perhaps Beficha Zu Tzedaka does not go so far as to give an actual kinyan in the money. But rather, Beficha Zu Tzedaka just says that as soon as you say, I want to give a certain thing to Tzedaka, then it already is a Chal Hashem Tzedaka on the object, which means that this thing now is designated that it must go for the Aniyim. It's a way of designation. And now the Aniyim have a right to make a kinyan in it, to make it theirs as far as Dinei Mamonis is concerned. And perhaps we can say that this is the shaila over here in the Ramah, between the two opinions in the Ramah, whether tzedakah is similar to hekdesh or not. If we hold that beficha zu tzedakah was mechadesh tas, that with your amira itself, the thing not only is designated to be tzedakahs, but it actually becomes owned by the aniyim and dinei mamonis, if so, then it's daimet to hekdesh. Hekdesh as well has this uniqueness, that through your dibur itself, the thing becomes mamayna shel hekdesh. And therefore, the svar would follow that the same way by hekdesh, one has the power to make something hekdesh belev, who adin tzedakah should have that same halacha. However, if we understand beficha zu tzedakah is merely a designation on the object, that the object now becomes, gets a shame tzedakah on it, becomes designated for that aniyim, so then we can say that perhaps it only has the level like a regular nether, where over there there's a din that you need dafka, bitois vasayim, for it to be articulated by mouth. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara tells a story with the Rebbeika Chuza, that have a shchiach b'shuka d'vei lefet, he was accustomed to being in the marketplace of d'vei lefet. Have a shchiach Eliyo Gabe, and Eliyo HaNavi would be there many a times together with Rebbeika Chuza. One day Rebbeika Chuza asked Eliyo HaNavi, Ika b'hishuka bar alma d'asi, is there someone in the marketplace now who is a Ben Olam Haba? Amar Lo Lo, he said, no, there is no one in the marketplace at this point who's a Ben Olam Haba. Adahachi v'hachi chazal u'gavra, in the meanwhile, as they were talking, a fellow entered the marketplace, Tavasayim misani uchmi, he was wearing black shoes, v'lairami chuta d'tchalta b'glime, he was not wearing tzitzis. Amar Lo, then Eliyo turned to Rebbeika Chuza, and he told him, hi baral v'dasiyu, this fellow you see, you just walked in. He is a Ben Olam Haba. Ro'at Basrei, so Rebbeika Chuza chased him down. Amalei asked him, my Oivdach, what do you do? Amalei told him back, Zila Inna, go today, go away from me today, but come back to me tomorrow, we'll discuss this. Lamacha the next day, Amalei asked him, my Oivdach, what do you do? Amalei replied, Zandukna Ana, I am a Jill man, Vasrana Gavri Luchud, Vinashi Luchud, I make sure to keep the men and women separate. Ramina Purya ben Hani Lahani, I place my bed between the two sides. Ki hechid leleisu de yisur, they should not come l'day iser. Ki chazina bas yisrael, furthermore, when I see a bas yisrael, the yahavi nahachim ala inayu, that the goyim, I see that they have their eyes on her, mastruna nafshoyim atzilin ala meisur nefesh, to save her. So he asked him, if so, how come you wear no tzitzis and you're wearing these black shoes? So he told him, I have to go constantly between the Goyim in order that to find out that if they're being Geyser or Gzeira, I run and tell the Rabbanan they should daven Amim Avatul Gzeira, and therefore I have to be in disguise, and therefore I do not dress like a Jew. Rashi explains that Mis'ani Uchmi means that he was wearing black shoes, and black shoes is not the derech of the Yehudim. It's Masha from Rashi that the actual shoe was black, and therefore it was not the derech of Yehudim in those days to wear black shoes. However, the Gemara Maseches Baba Kama Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph Nun Tes Amud Beis brings down a very fascinating story. The Gemara tells us that Eliezer Zeira have a sayim esani ochmi. Eliezer Zeira would wear black shoes. The kai b'shuka the nerda, and he would stand in the marketplace in nerda. Ashkechinu the veresh galusa, the veresh galusa found him, and he said, "How come you wearing these black shoes?" He told him, "Because I'm being misabel on Yerushalayim." Rashi explains that he was wearing black shoes, which is a minig avelim. Now Taisus over there, Maseches Bava Kamma, is medayik that it's mashma both from the sugya and Bava Kamma, and both from our sugya and Maseches Tainus, that wearing black shoes was not considered the minig of Yehudi from Eliezer Zeira, and from the fact that this fellow wore black shoes in order not to be recognized as a Jew. Taisus, however, says Temuhu, I don't understand this. After all, there's a Gemara Maseches Beya on Daf Tes Vav Min Aleph that says, one is not allowed to send a white shoe on Yantif because it's not ready to be used then. One needs to blacken it. It's mashed from the Sugya and Beya that the derech was that Dafka did wear black shoes, and therefore a white shoe is not considered right. So how do we reconcile the two Sugyas? Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a fascinating approach. Rabbeinu Tam says that of course the actual shoe was black, and that was normal, that was the derech of the Yehudim, and that's the pshat in the Gemara Maseches Beya, that if a shoe is not yet blackened, it's not right to be used on Yantif. However, Rabbeinu Tam says the Sugyan Baba Kama and the Sugyan Tainis are not referring to the actual shoe, but rather it's referring to the shoelaces, because the derech of Klal Yisrael was that though they were black shoes, the shoelaces were white. And therefore, in the Sugyan Baba Kama and Sugyan Tainis, what he was doing different was that not only was he wearing black shoes, which was the minhag of Yisrael, but he was wearing black shoelaces as well, which that was the minhag of the Goyim. Furthermore, Rabbeinu Tam says, that is the pshat in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Perek Ben Seiru and Meira, on Daf Ayin Dalet on the Beis, where the Gemara teaches us that even though generally a person is only Mechliyuti Meiser Nefesh on the Gimla Averis Chamurais, Avedezara Gili Arayis and Shvichas Damim, however, b'shas ha-shmad, if it's a time of shmad where the Goyim are trying to force the Jews not to serve Hashem, so then afil shnuye araksa de misadi aser. Even to change your shoelace is aser. Rabbeinu Tam says this is what the Gemara means. Since the derech was that the ritzuais, the shoelaces of Klal Yisrael, was different than the shoelaces of the Goyim, where the shoelaces of the Goyim were black, the shoelaces of Klal Yisrael were white, even on switching the shoelace, it is forbidden b'shas ha-shmad. And the avelus of Eliezer was that he didn't even want it tzad lavan. He wanted to be fully b'avelus because of the churban based on Migdash. And that is the mahalach of Taisvis. Now the Rif, however, and the Rosh, Masechta Sanhedrin, don't agree with Taisvis. Rather, the Rif and the Rosh and Masechta Sanhedrin say that the derech of Yisrael was that they wore black shoelaces. And the derech of the Goyim was that they wore red shoelaces. So now, according to the Rif and the Rosh, wearing black shoelaces was considered a Derech Yisrael. So according to the Rif and the Rosh, we're forced to say that the Shinoi by Eliezer and the Sugyan Baba Kama and by this fellow in the Sugyan Tainis must have been the shoe itself. That it must have been that the Derech was that the Jew did not wear a black shoe. He wore black shoelaces, but he did not wear black shoes. And so is Mashma, the Pashas of the Lashon of Rashi, Masechtas Tainis, that he writes, min alim shechayim, he is wearing black shoes, shalike minig Yehudim, not like the minig of Jews. So according to both the Rif, the Rosh, and Rashi, we have to know how to resolve the Sugyan Beya, where the Sugyan Beya flies in the face of all this. The Sugyan Beya is mashma, one cannot send a shoe which is white on Yantif, because it's not right to be used, because you still need to blacken it. One possible way how to resolve this question is a pshat which is brought down in the Eitzim Mepharshim in the end of Maseches Baba Kama. He brings down Moshein, the Rav, and the Rambam, that they write that this minug, which is mentioned in the Gemara Maseches Beya, that the derech was to go with black shoes, was dafka b'mkaymei shel Rabbi Yehuda, only in Rabbi Yehuda's place. And according to this, we can say that only in the place of Rabbi Yehuda did they go with black shoes. However, everywhere else they went with white shoes, and that was the nafkamina, according to the Rif, the Rosh, and Rashi. Now the Mishnah taught us al elu masriyim b'chol makim about the following things we are masriya in all places, al hashidafain, for wind blasts, which would happen that strong winds would come, detach the kernels of the grain from the husks. Rabbi Akiva says, al hashidafain b'kol shehu. When it comes to shidafain, even a kol shehu, one is masriya. Rashi asks a very strong question. How could Rabbi Akiva say that Shidafa and one is Masriya with Kolshu? Didn't we learn previously in the Mishnah the story that Yardas Akanim and Yerushalayim La'arehem, that the elders came down from Yerushalayim to their cities, and there were guys who were tainis, al shanira kemale pitanor shidafain v'ashkelon. That from the fact that an oven full of tfua was affected in Ashkelon, there were guys who were tainis. So we see from that story that there is a share, an amount, how much needs to be affected by shidafain in order to be masriya. If so, how could Rabbi Akiva say that you're masriya even on a kol shehu? On that, Rashi offers two explanations. Number one, Rashi says, the Mishnah is only referring to as far as a tainus is concerned. As far as making a fast day, for that there's a halacha, we're only make a fast day if it's kamale pitanor. Mashen Gan Rabbi Akiva is only talking about as far as to be masriya, and for that, a kol shehu is enough. According to this first explanation of Rashi, it's going to come out that when Rabbi Akiva says masriyan, masriyan means just the blowing of a shofar without fasting, which that is the shita's arrivit. And for a shofar itself, by kol shehu is enough to blow with the shofar. The second mahalach of Rashi is that ma'isa shehaya kachaya. That which the Mishnah says that one time there were geyser tainis because there was an oven full that was affected by shidafain in Ashkelon, that just happened to have been the story. But of course, they would have been geyser tainis even if it would have been a kol shehu. Now on both mahalchim of Rashi, the Magid Mishnah and Sfas Emes ask very strong questions. To start off with, the Rambam in Perek Beis Mehilchus Tainis Halacha Yid Aleph writes, Ala shidafain, how we masriya on shidafain, mishayaschu b'tfua, once it starts affecting the tfua, ba'afilu lehischu ela b'makim katan, kimale pitanur. Even if it only started a very small amount, kimale pitanur. The Magid Mishnah writes that it's a mashmah that the Rambam understood, the Rabbi Akiva that says kol shehu is not a steer to the Mishnah that says malei tanor, because malei tanor, relatively speaking, is considered a very small amount, and therefore Rabbi Akiva says kol shehu. But there is no contradiction between Rabbi Akiva and the story mentioned in the Mishnah. However, the Magid Mishnah writes that Rashi does not hold this way, because Rashi asks for a question, that how could Rabbi Akiva say that there were geyser on shidafan on a kol shehu if the Mishnah says clearly you need malei pitanor? He brings down the first explanation of Rashi, that Rashi says there's a distinction that the Mishnah is referring to tainus, and when it comes to tainus, you need the amount of mali pitanor, and Rabbi Akiva is only talking about as far as Hasra is concerned. On that he asks that the Mishnah that says Hasra would be mashma, Hasra is mashma, even tainus. B'chayra, we can mechazik the question of the Magid Mishnah on Rashi. Doesn't Rashi himself say, on Yerchesa Mebeis, when the Mishnah says Masri and Miyad, he explains, has the chaymer of Shavach Reinus, the seven last fast days, which have both the kiyas and tainus. And when the Mishnah uses that same terminology by Shidafin Masriyan, according to Rashi, it would seem it would have to be as well both tainus and shayfris. And on the second mahalach of Rashi, where Rashi says there is no contradiction because Rabbi Akiva holds we are Masriyan on a kol shehu of Shidafin, and the Mishnah that says that in Ashkelon there were geyser when it was Mali Pitanor, that just happened to have been the story. The Gemara just was saying the Maisa Shehaya Kahaya. And that the Magid Mishnah asks a powerful question. How is it possible to learn this way? After all, the Gemara on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis has a question. When we say in the Mishnah that we are Geyser, we are Masriya when it's Malei Pitanor, the Gemara has a question. Well, what does this mean? It doesn't mean the amount of Tvua that fits into an oven, or does it mean the amount of Tvua that can make bread that will fit into an oven, which is a much smaller amount. Like Rashi explains, in those days, the way they would bake the bread was, they would take the dough, and they would stick it against the sides of the oven. It would not fill up the entire airspace of the oven, and therefore, according to that understanding, there would be a chiv to be geyser tainus, even when shidafin affected a much smaller amount of tvua. Zok the Magid Mishnah, if this whole story was only brought down just because it happened to be that was the amount that was affected, so what's the Gemara's whole question? How much was it? Was the amount of tefillah filling up the oven? Or was it just the amount to make bread to fill up an oven? What's a nafkamina? Whatever happened, happened. This has absolutely no practical ramifications. Therefore, the Magid Mishnah says that the Ikar Pshat is like the Rambam, that kol shu, and Rabbi Akiva says kol shu, that is the same exact amount of malei tanur, and just because, relatively speaking, it's a very small amount, Rabbi Akiva refers to it as kol shu. But Rashi is still a tzarech ian. How will Rashi answer up the questions of the Rav HaMagid? Now the Gemara teaches us that there's another time when we were masriya, when there's an issue of an animal being mishuleches, as if it's being sent from Shemayim to attack people. And the Gemara tells us, also legag v'natla tinoik me'arisa mishuleches. The animal went up on top of a roof and grabbed a little baby from its crib, mishuleches, that's considered a situation where we see this as a gzera mishamayim, this is an abnormal thing. So the Gemara asks, Shita, obviously this is considered abnormal. The Gemara answers, Rav Papa Kekuche the Tzaydi. What we're talking about is not a normal house. Over here we're talking about a hunter's shack. And this hunter's shack used to be built in a place where they would trap the birds. And even though it's not a binyan kavua to consider it like the Yishuv, and perhaps therefore I would say it's not considered mishalachas abnormal for the animal to have attacked, Kamash Malam, then no, it is considered enough daima to the Yishuv, that the animal is considered to be mishuleches. Now Rashi previously in Devei HaMaskil also Legag had said, "Regilin ayu l'shtamish kol tash mishayim begadais shalei hayu mishupen ela chalakim mishadim." The reason why the Gemara talks about a case of the animal climbing up on the roof and taking the baby from its crib on the roof is because that happens to be the Orcha de Milsa in those days, that they would use their roofs for regular tashmishim, for a lot of tashmishim. But of course, hu adin lebayis shetachta, of course, the same thing would apply if the baby would have been on the floor level and the animal would have entered. However, the Rambam, in Perek Beis Mehuchas Tainis Halacha Ches, writes, Batim habenuyim bimidbarais ubarotzeis hanishamais, houses that are built in the deserts and in desolate areas, since it's a place where animals are, and also legag the nutla tinek me'arisa harezu mishaleches. If an animal goes up on the roof and takes the baby from its crib, then it's considered mishaleches. Now the Rambam is a sefer halacha, and therefore if the Rambam held that hu adin, if the animal would enter the ground floor, it would be considered mishaleches, the Rambam should have spoken this out. And the fact that the Rambam does not, is mashma zok the Karen Ira. The Rambam argues with Rashi. And Rambam holds that only if it attacks and takes the baby from the roof, is it considered mishaleches. The Karen Ira says further, that perhaps the machlekes Rashi over here in the Rambam, goes l'shitasam. Because Rashi learns the case, kuchi the tzaydi, is a place where they camp out over there to catch birds. Rashi doesn't say that it's a makom where animals are. The pashtut of Rashi is mashma. It's a place where they catch birds. And therefore, according to Rashi, even for an animal to enter the ground floor is considered abnormal and considered mishulachas. However, the Rambam, who says beferish, that kucha v'tzaydi is a place, makom gedu dechaya, where animals are around over there, if so, if it would enter just the ground floor, the Rambam holds that is not considered abnormal to constitute mishulachas. And therefore the Rambam l'shitasa must learn that when the Gemara says went up on the roof, it's bedafka, only if it climbs up onto the roof to take the baby from the roof, only chai gavna is it considered mishulachas. Now the Mishnah had said that there another time there were guys or tainis asha achu ze'evim, that the wolves ate the little children. The Gemara explains, Amar ula mishum rav shim ben yaitzadak, maiso ba'u ze'evim shneitin, I guess, there's a story with these two wolves, ate two little children, v'ikiyam darach beisarei, and then they excreted them, uba mais levnei chachamim, and the story came before the chachamim, v'tiaru es abasar, they said that the meat that came out is not metame to masmeis, however, v'timu es ha'atzamais, the bones are metame to masmeis. Both Rashi and Taisus learn that the difference between the meat and the bones is that when it comes to the meat is considered nis'achel, considered that it was digested, and therefore it loses its shame basar, and therefore it's not matami to masmeis, it just has a din kapirsha ba'alma. However, that samais, the bones, are not nis'achel, not digested, and therefore they still retain the status of tamimeis. Now Rashi in Devei HaMaskil Bo'an writes that the story over here that took place with the foxes was Bo'an kishen shleimen, they swallowed up the children without chewing on the children, but rather when they were shoveling. Frankly, Gvuras Ari, how could Rashi learn the sugya that way? Because Taisus and Mesethus Menachas and Daf Samach Tes Amid Aleph, Divri Amaschel, the Bala writes in the very end of Taisus that our sugya cannot be talking about a case where the foxes swallowed the children when they were shalim. Because if that would be the case, that they were shalim, it would be a kasha from the sugya in Bechairis. The Gemara in the first parak of Bechairis on Daf Zayin Amid Bey says, Dag Tar Shabala Dag Tame. In a case where you have a kosher fish that swallows whole, a tameh fish, aser ba'achila. If you open up the fish, the tameh fish is still aser to be eaten. So what do I see from there? I see that when something is just swallowed and not chewed, that is not considered nis'achal. So if so, if over here as well, the babies were just swallowed by the foxes, why would the meat be considered nis'achal to lose its tumah status of tameh meis? The Gvura Sari answers for Rashi that perhaps Rashi will learn like one of the chalukim that Taisus makes over there in Mesachtes Menachas. Taisus says that over here it is worse than the case in Mesachtes Bechairis. Over here, where the case was that the Ze'evim excreted the children as well, Darach Besarei, because of that it loses its status of Basar, it's considered Nisachal, and that's why it's not Metame anymore to Masmeis. Asha'enkein, the sugya in the beginning of Bechairis on Zayin of Abayz, is talking about that we found the tummy fish inside the Tara fish. All it did was it swallowed it. But it did not go Darach Beis Arei, and perhaps that's why it's not considered Me'ochel, and it retains its original status, and it's Asher Ba'achila. Perhaps it could be Maisev in the Svaras HaDvarim of the Pshat and the Gvuras Ari, that how come over here Darach Beis Arei makes it worse? Perhaps it could explain based on a Svar that the Birchus Avram says over here, in Mesechta's Tainus, that the aside of why, after this Avim swallowed the children, why it's not Metami Tomas Meis, is because it loses the Shem Basar. And what causes it to lose the Shem Basar is the fact that it gets a new status. It gets a status of Glolim, of excrement. If so, we could say that that is Dafka Rashi held, where this Avim swallowed the children and went through the whole digestive system, and it even came out Darach Beis Arei, and excreted the children. Therefore, it gets on it a shame glolim. However, in the case where the fish just swallowed the other fish, but it did not excrete the other fish, that's not enough, Rashi held, to give it a shame glolim, and therefore retains the status of basar that it originally had. And the Gemara later teaches us that even in cases where the tzibur does not fast, however, al kulan yachid rashay losage face atzmai b'taynis, an individual could decide by himself that he wants to fast. Rabbi Yossi, however, argues on this, and he says, no, an individual has no right to go and put himself through a fast. Perhaps it will weaken him, and he won't be able to do work, Rashi says. He'll need to come on to other people. And perhaps people will not have mercy on him. Rav Yehuda Merav says, what is the pshat of Rav Yaisi? The Siv, he learned that from the Pasuk. Adam lenefesh chaya. Says in the Pasuk, and the man was lenefesh chaya. And like the Marsha explains, that by all other creations, even though they have a nefesh as well, it does not use the lashon of chaya by them. Only by a person does it add the extra word of chaya, which comes to teach us, neshama shenasati bach hachiyah. The neshama that I have placed inside your guf, you should go ahead and ensure that it's full of chiyas, full of life. Now, Taisus points out in the Devar HaMaschil, Reb Yossi, that this Reb Yossi says the yachid is not allowed to be mesagif atzmei b'taimis. He says, this machlaikas we have over here between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama is not the same machlaikas that we find previously between the Amayraim and Mesechtes Tainus and Afyud Aleph on the Beis. Previously, Mesechtes Tainus, we had a machlaikas Amayraim, someone who fasts, is he called a chayte, or is he called a kadosh, a holy person? Taisus says that that has no connection to the machlaikas that we're talking about over here. Taisus explains, the Shom Ari b'matzilut Uri Nafshe. Previously, the Gemara earlier on Yud Aleph Amud Beis was talking about a case where the person is strong enough to fast. And over there, there's a machlekes, whether afal pikein, he's called a chayte for fasting. However, over here, Taisus says, our sugya is talking about the loy matzilut uri nafshe. He is not strong enough to be mitzar himself. And on that, we have the machlekes between Rav Yaisi and the Tanakhama. Perhaps it could be maisiv, a little bit of a raya to Taisus Mahalach, that it's very mistaber the way Taisus is setting up the two sugyas. Previously, the machlekes was whether a person who fasts is called a kadosh or is called a chayte. And like the Mesilas Yesharim explains, that the machlekes over there is that on the one hand, the person, there's a derech ha-mavayda, that a person should be pirish, a person should hold himself back from this world. On the other hand, the other man, the Amar, says that no, the purpose of the world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a beautiful world for a person to use this world. Use it, yes, for avodas Hashem, but not to abstain and hold himself back from this world. Like it says in Yerushalmi, that a person will have to give a din v'cheshbon on every last hana that there is in the world that he did not experience. Like the Mesil Shisharm explains, experiencing it and using it, l'tzarech avodas Hashem. And therefore, since that is the crux of the question over there, so that is a fundamental question, whether the derech is to be pirish from this world, or to use the world, in the henna from the world, l'tzarech avodas Hashem. And therefore, it's mistabit to say, like Taisus says, over there is talking about even a person who has the ability to fast. Because that's not the point. The point is, even if someone has the ability to fast, according to the Mandamar, who says, he's a chayte, that is not the derech haratzoi for a person to be noyig in avodas Hashem. Asha'enken in our sugya, where the Gemara darshins from the pasuk neshama shenasati bach achyeya, and like the Gemara explains that a person should not fast because he'll end up needing to come on to people, and perhaps the briyos will not be merachim on him. The stabber to say, like Taisus explains over here, we're talking about b'dolay matzil seuri anafshe, where he's not capable to go ahead and be fasting. Now the Yavetz makes interesting diuk from the fact that we say in ayachid rasha l'sagef atzmai, and though Taisus says we're talking about a case of loy matzil seuri anafshe, but his mashma that b'tzibur, if there were guys or atinus, he has no choice. And even b'loy matzil seuri anafshe, he is obligated to fast. So the Yavetz says, obviously, we're not talking about b'makam chayli, where the person is going to get sick, or b'makam sakana, where it's person's a sakana to his life. Obviously, it is pashit that even b'tzibur, in such a case, a person is not allowed to fast. What we're talking about, it's very painful and it will weaken him. And in such a thing, only a yachid has a ptor, but if it be b'tzibur, he'd be mechuyev to go ahead and fast. And he explains the reason is because by the tzibur, there is no chashash of shalei rachmu alav. By the tzibur, there is no concern that they won't have rachmanis on him. Because since it's a gzera that the tzibur should fast, and like the Gemara Masechtas Brachos on Avav on the base teaches us, igra de tanisa is tzedakah. The schar of a fast day is not so much the fast, but the ikar schar is for the tzedakah that you give out at the end, that the poor people should have food to break their fast. And like the Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin on Aflam and Heyam and Aleph teaches, kol tainish elanu at tzibur, the lechalku tzedakah, hare elu kishayfchei damim. Any tainish tzibur where the people go to sleep, and they did not ensure that the aniyim had food to break their fast, they are considered like murderers. Therefore, by a tainis tzibur, there is no concern for a person, even b'dolei matzil atzur enafshe, to fast, because the people will be merachim on him by giving him tzedakah at the end of the day to be able to purchase meals and food to eat. The Yavetz is a little bit of a chiddush in his understanding in the Gemara. Pashtus, you understand the Gemara when the Gemara says a yachid is not allowed to misagif asmei b'tainis, because maybe he'll be nitzdarach l'briyais, and the briyais will not be merachmais alav. Pashtus, it means that a person through his fasting will become weak to the extent that even in days after this, he will not be able to go to work and work hard. He'll weaken his body. Not that it's a one-time issue that he won't have food at the end of this tainis. However, the Yavetz seems to be learning that the main concern is he can't go ahead and be misagif himself, because perhaps he will not, he'll be nitzdarach l'briyais, and ain't abriyais merachmis alav, he won't have food to be able to break his fast on, and that's why he'll become very weak, and he won't be able to mefarnes himself because of that.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.